Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report, which is on the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly websites, and in the print edition of the Las Vegas Sun 8 days a week. I write for all the other Greenspun Media Group publications. And my dear co-host, once more, is in the great state of Montana. How you doing, Dishy?
I'm good. I actually just came in from swimming.
You were swimming out there in Flathead Lake,
in
was
the
it?
Lake. Yes, ooh. I was out on lake in the Flathead Lake, and it's very funny. We have this cool little thing. It's actually for kids, but that's okay. It's a trampoline in the lake, so you like jump on the trampoline and you jump in the water.
Oh my gosh, that sounds nothing but fun and secondarily dangerous.
It's amazing how difficult it is to pull yourself back up on that trampoline. And I realize that I see little kids like doing it like boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I realize how completely out of shape I am.
Yeah, I know. How is the lake? You know, when I was driving in here to record, I was listening to a story about a drought all over the country. All these lake levels are down. Have you heard anything about that up there? Is everything fine with the lake?
Everything seems to be fine with the lake. It's beautiful. It's clear. It's so refreshing. I've been swimming like crazy in it. I'm loving it.
Very good. Jumping off
the dock and having fun.
Well, speaking of aquatic entertainment, I went to see Surf the Musical.
I heard.
This week.
Yeah, Surf the Musical, who we're trying to have on for quite some time and had some problems booking.
Yeah, we have had problems booking. I'm now currently tracking Adrian Zmed, who's in the show.
Let's be honest with you, he was in a lot of cool things. He was in Grease 2.
He was in Grease 2.
And T.J. Hooker.
And was the host, as I most fondly remember him, as the host of Dance Fever after Denny Perry.
Dance Fever after Denny left.
Dance Fever. Yeah. Dance Fever.
And Janet Jones was one of the dancers,
exactly.
The main two dancers, and mm-hmm. she married Wayne Gretzky.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Dance Fever spawned a lot of news, that little show. And it was one of the early pre-runner to all the many of the contest shows we have now. They'd get dancers up together and they'd be judged. And Adrian, and before him, Denny would come out and dance before and at the end of the show. And gosh, we were all dancing fools in those days. But I'm trying to interview
Adrian.
Adrian, if you're listening, call me. I didn't have a chance to meet him last night. So we went to that show at Planet Hollywood, which is it was the formal media opening of the show.
I know,
the red
I felt
carpet.
Bad that I had to say I wasn't going to make it.
Oh, baby, there was a significant red carpet happening before the show. Everybody was on this red carpet, and it was a really fun night. The show is, I will tell you this, in the most diplomatic way, this show is not where it's going to be or where it wants to be right now. There's some things that they're still working on, but it is a very ambitious project over there at Planet Hollywood. They're trying to compete with the best of the best, and they're going for it there. They're swinging for the fences. They're all those great Beach Boys songs, and I think there are 22 or 23 Beach Boys songs and exclusively in the show.
You got to imagine you've got like brothers harmonizing and all that. You know, it's like all that. Those harmonies are pretty hard to duplicate.
They're some of the most difficult. The very tight, intricate harmonies that they did in songs like "Good Vibrations" and "Help Me Rhonda," "A Little Deuce Coupe" were. That's why I feel, having watched the show, we haven't seen more attempts at Beach Boys musicals, because it's just a very vocally difficult thing to pull off. But it is. It's fun. It's splashy. The setting is great. I love the band is top notch, and there's a lot of great stuff to work with. So the Surf the Musical, we're going to keep our eye on that.
John Stamos coming in, because he was like to tour with the Beach Boys. Maybe that would be a great person to bring in, John Stamos.
We'll have him on the show, or not.
Since we're so easily getting all the surf cast on the show.
We need to get to this week's guest, who is the one of the stars of, and the first person you see on stage in Vegas, the show at Saks Theater, I should say, at Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood, Eric Jordan Young. So we will be spending some time with him talking about his path to Vegas and the changes in the show. So stick around. I know we will. Yes. Viva!
Hey there, this is Lena Giroux, also known as the Brown Pearl, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Storm coming.
You sound like you're looking forward to it.
I'm adaptable.
That's Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne and Anne Hathaway as Selina Kyle in The Dark Knight Rises, the third and final film in director Christopher Nolan's epic Batman trilogy. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. The Dark Knight Rises has been preceded by almost unimaginable hype, and it's every bit as epic and intense as fans have been hoping for. It may be a little too epic and intense, actually, with a bloated running time of 2 hours and 45 minutes and a long, punishing second half that often drags. New villain Bane, played by Tom Hardy, is no match for Heath Ledger's Joker in the previous film, and Anne Hathaway is underused as Catwoman, the only character in the movie who ever seems to have any fun. Nolan tries too hard to make a serious, weighty film, but he still comes up with some fantastic set pieces and very intriguing characters. I give The Dark Knight Rises 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release is the acclaimed film festival favorite, Beasts of the Southern Wild, narrated by 6-year-old Quvenzhané Wallace as Hush Puppy, a tough young girl who lives with her neglectful, perpetually angry father in a fictional land off the coast of Louisiana known as the Bathtub.
One day, the storm's gonna blow, the ground's gonna sink, and the water's gonna rise up so high, there ain't gonna be no bathtub.
Beasts is a unique mix of pseudo-profound mysticism and working-class grit, but rather than making a poignant statement about poverty or natural disasters, it mashes together a bunch of disparate elements into a clumsy, if sometimes striking, mess. I give Beasts of the Southern Wild 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is one of the stars of Vegas, the show, which recently celebrated its 2-year anniversary at Saks Theatre at Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood. He also has a CD out titled Once in a Lifetime. Welcome to Cats with a Dish, the multifaceted, multi-talented, and multi-named Eric Jordan Young.
Yes, and I'm going to add in there some an avid Rhodesian Ridgeback lover.
Yes,
which I've talked about my dog all the time. So it's like I have even more respect for him, even though I think he's one of the most talented men in the world. Now I love him even more that he's a Rhodesian. And
I'm glad I picked that type of dog then,
yes,
I must say.
And named Keely, and I named mine and Margaret, so we both have them named after Vegas
Las
icons.
Vegas history.
Right,
absolutely.
Well, you've since moved. You're part of the original cast. You've since moved to Las Vegas.
I sure did. I came from New York and thought, you know what, I fell in love with Vegas again because I was out here in the early 90s. I did Starlight Express out here in the early 90s.
Oh, my gosh, the Hilton, when they redid the stage to a comedy. I mean, that was like a huge controversy back then when they tore up the Hilton showroom.
It was
showroom.
Gigantic, actually. Yeah. And I had a good time living out here. I loved it. It was, you know, kind of like the beginning of my adult single life, you know, I guess you could say, and did it here for about 2.5 years, and then I left and came back and did Chicago at Mandalay Bay when that was here
I
for
saw
a
you
bit
in
of time,
that then.
And then here it is 10 years later. I was approached by David Sachs and Tiger Martina to come and work on Vegas
now,
the
now
show.
Was it,
and
now was it David or was it? Because I mean, I know that I don't know if David had much of a Broadway, New York type of a connection, because he's so identified with Vegas and is such an incredible producer and so well known here. But yet Tiger is huge in the New York Broadway community. So was it Tiger that kind of gave the...
It was Tiger. Tiger and I are from the same town, so we're both Buffalonians. And we went to the same dance school. And actually, I knew about Tiger from the dance school, which was David DeMarie Dance Studio in Buffalo, New York, for those of you who are Buffalo listeners.
And we were...
And Tiger was a star there. Tiger was, this guy who went off and made it. And so anybody who steps foot into that studio still to this day looks up to Tiger. And so we developed a friendship over the years and lived in New York at the same time. And he called me and said, look, I'm doing this project in Las Vegas, and I'd really love it if you would entertain the idea of coming out here to be in it. And I jumped on the opportunity, and here I am, two years later.
How did Tiger describe the show to you at that point? Because it's not a kind of an easy show to.
Yeah, I mean, we all, because in town, we all knew that David had this dream and had this idea, and you know that was going to be an old time Vegas show and celebrate Vegas history and that sort of thing. But even those of us in town, the excitement was so there because you know David has so many incredible shows, but it was like this was his baby.
Right.
And we've had him and Tiger on the show, and we've had Reva, and Tara Paulsha has been back a bunch of times. You're the lead dancer in your show is phenomenal.
She's gorgeous. Yeah,
and so it was a big buzz in town that we were like that David was really putting so much of financially in every single way into the show, and we didn't know what to expect. So yeah, how was it described to you?
Well, I mean, honestly, it was kind of described in the same way that you're kind of we knew that it was his baby and that he really wanted to create something special and something that actually voiced to the local community, people who really have a long history with this town and understand all of the changes that it has gone through, and really understand, you know, where Vegas should be going in a way. People who have seen all of the different shows here, that because there's been so much amazing entertainment in this town, and you know, the generation gap happens, and people who are coming here now who may not have known about Vegas in the early 70s don't realize what incredible talent was here at that time. I mean, people were here in the 80s that people don't know about. And so I think that he just wanted to tap into that. And so when they approached me and said, we want to, you know, highlight all of those different things that create Las Vegas, that celebrate the entertainment of Las Vegas, you know, it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, well, let's all just try to get on the same page and make it happen. And, you know, I'm a pretty creative person. I've written my own musical, and I have my CD out, and I've done a lot of different type of things.
It's pretty much, as far as entertaining goes, I don't think there's anything you can't do.
Well,
it's shown in the show. So well, I didn't interrupt,
juggle.
But I honestly jumped at the opportunity.
Might be the thing.
I haven't juggled yet.
What you should have said is, as a matter of fact, I won 5 juggling competitions.
I'm juggling now.
Right, exactly. With my pinky toe. But, you know, I jumped at the opportunity to be able to create with them. And it's always nice when somebody when they share their excitement and their vision with you. Because if you, you know, are wanting to do something special, it gives you a little bit of drive and incentive. And that's what that did for me. So, you know, I'm really proud of the product that we have right now. And I think that they like it, too. So
you're important in the show in so many ways. But you're also the first figure people see in the character.
Ernie.
The custodian. Yes. You're the custodian of the show,
For the neon graveyard. I say graveyard boneyard, but it's neon.
It is neon. In the show, it is graveyard. So you're right.
Okay. So I listened. Okay.
I listened correctly.
I listen to Eric.
See Boneyard. I hear Graveyard.
Right.
The neon place. The neon expanse. And you are the person who's responsible for explaining right out of the gate what people are going to be
seeing. People up for the journey.
That's a very important role, because if you don't sell that character at that time, people are going to be a little bit lost as to what this is all about. How much input did you have in the creation of that particular role?
A nice amount of input, actually. They gave me the opportunity to just kind of ride with it. And they said, well, what do you think that this could possibly be? And I thought, let's name the guy Ernie. He is a gentleman who has a lot of respect for the Las Vegas entertainment community. He really cares about this
town. What do you call an old-timer? What we would call like an old-timer, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is a real person. He's not this made-up and fabricated, you know, energy. He is actually somebody that is that needs to read to the audience as a real person. And so I developed this character out of thinking about people who really love entertainment and love the environment in which they live and love the things about the environment in which they live, like the signage and the hotels that were knocked down and the old vintage cars that drove through here and how things have changed and how they haven't changed. So I just thought about all of those things and they gave me the chance to kind of run with it. And thank goodness they liked it, because I think that, you know, being able to open the show with such a, you know, a guy who other people can relate to makes the audience feel comfortable and at home right from the beginning, you know. Because people walk into shows and they don't know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And that's the people always ask me, what's the difference between performing in New York and performing in Vegas? And I think that when you go see a show in New York, you have an idea of what you're going to see. You at least have some type of... You know, if you're going to go see Phantom of the Opera, well, here it is in Vegas as well, so maybe that's not a good example. But
well, for not much longer, but...
Right, but if you're going to go see, you know, Wicked in New York City before it has before it started touring and all over the place, you have an idea of what it's going to be like. But when you walk into a Vegas show, you're kind of gambling, which is cool, because that's the aesthetic of this town. You're taking a gamble on a show. And so you walk in there... having no idea what you're getting yourself into, having no idea how you're going to be entertained, you kind of feel like, ooh, am I going to like this or am I going to hate it? Am I going to feel uncomfortable? What if I need to get up and go to the bathroom halfway through the show? Can I get a drink? Can I? So you're thinking all those things when you sit down. So it's really nice when you can make an audience feel comfortable from the get-go and make them understand that they're seeing something that is going to really fly and make them feel good.
Exactly. On that point about the difference between performing in New York, especially on Broadway, and in Las Vegas, I talked to David Sachs. I interviewed him this week for a column that will have been written by now.
Right.
And I asked him about that very quality, because he's definitely not – he is of Las Vegas, for sure. And he said that one difference that he has grown to accept over the years, that his show, especially Vegas' show, is always evolving. It's always changing. Always, he's always thinking about ways to change and make it grow and make it different and morph it into something, you know, even better than it is now. Mm-hmm. Where in, and he's been asked by performers who have Broadway experience, is the show set?
Yes.
Is the show frozen yet? And it's never going to be frozen.
No.
And what's that like for a performer when you have a certain pattern of development in a production? Then it becomes set, frozen, and you have that show. Where in this show, that's never the case.
It's hard, actually, but at the same time, it's exciting, because you know that it lends itself to so much change, and you can kind of it's like pressing refresh on your phone, you know, you can keep up with the times, so to speak, and continue to give the audience what it is that. They want. I think that the reason why David wants that refresh, so to speak, is so that he can keep the show current and keep it in a time period that people are always feeling like they're going to see something different and new every time they come to see the show. Mm-hmm. And we do have a lot of repeat audience members, people who come back, and the show is never the same. It really isn't. I mean, the show runs 7 days a week, and we have a rotating cast, we have rotating musicians, we have you know, acts that are specialty acts that change from show to show sometimes, meaning that we have a 7 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock show, and the 7 o'clock could be one show, and the 9 o'clock could be a different show entirely. But for me, it's different, because you do have to get used to it not being set. But I walked in knowing that it wasn't going to set itself, and seeing the excitement that David and Tiger have as creators, even if they wanted to set this show, I knew that they wouldn't be able to, just because
they're constantly
wanting to make changes and do new things and make the audience. You know, feel good by seeing something different every time.
You you get to do so many different. You get to sing and perform and dance and along with. I don't want to say impressions, because they're more tributes in a way to a lot of the history of Las Vegas. I mean, you sing Louis Prima.
Mm-hmm.
You sing I think Sonny Bono,
yes.
Correct?
And
classic.
And
for those of you who are out there who are listening, I am an African American male.
And for those of you who don't remember, Sonny Bono was not.
He was a very, very short Italian.
Right.
Which is accounted for in the piece. You can come out and make some.
There,
sort of
we put it on the table.
And Sammy Davis Jr., which
yes.
What is your favorite? I think I would know the answer just from watching the show, but what is your favorite of those performers to do?
Well, I love Sammy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a huge aficionado of Sammy Davis Jr. I have to say that a lot of the reason why I'm in this business is because I was so inspired by him as a child, as a young person who wanted to perform. He was just a man who, he set the bar. Mm-hmm. For people who want to do everything and anything, and I'm one of those people. I love to sing, I love to act, I love to dance, and I love to entertain, and I really love doing all of those things at the same time. There's a rush that happens for me when I'm able to do that, and I think a lot of that comes from seeing Sammy Davis Jr. In TV shows, and I didn't get to see him on Broadway, of course, because it was many years ago, and I would have been too young. But watching him do variety shows and hearing all of his recordings and seeing his TV shows, and I grew up watching him in so many different types, in so many different areas of the entertainment industry that I was just so impressed and inspired. Mm-hmm. So I would have to say that in the show, I love the Sammy Davis Jr. section, of course.
And you're incredible during it, and you do actually take time and sit down and explain this and explain how much Sammy Davis has done for you,
right,
in your career and just as you as a person. And,
right.
And I mean, and you do have so many of those qualities, being such an incredible dancer and a performer and a singer, that it's a really touching moment of the show. So now, other than what you sing, when you are not on stage,
yes,
what is your favorite part of the show to see?
When I'm not on stage, that's a good question. Wow. Well, it's really kind of funny because there aren't really too many moments where I'm not
on
stage, honestly.
or maybe you'll be there, but maybe you're not singing that song. Maybe
right.
Something. What's one of your favorite numbers that you are not?
I really love the Tom Jones section.
It's fun.
I love
really
Tom
fun.
Jones. I mean, the last time he was here in town, he was at MGM, and I mm-hmm. ran to go see Tom Jones. I mean, how can you not appreciate that voice and that energy? He is a masterclass in entertainment, basically. So I really love the Tom Jones section. And at one point, I was hoping that I might be able to delve into doing it myself. But
they're like, you do everything in the show, Eric. Somebody else sing something.
I know.
You might have to swap out
Tom Jones.
Sonny Bono.
Right, right. But considering that I really, wear a lot of wigs because of my milk-dead head and being a bald black man, I think being able to do the Tom Jones, I was like, okay, I won't do that one.
Well, Katz's favorite, one of his favorite, I don't know if it's exactly, but one of the times that I've seen it, the show with Katz, which I think is every time I've seen the show, I've seen it with you, is Candyman.
Yes.
You know, that is like, that's always a highlight for Katz for many reasons.
Well, there's a lot of candy on that stage.
There is a lot of candy.
I had seen it three times before I realized that he was in the scene himself.
But I gotta say, you show some serious kicks.
Yes.
And that song, like, you are like Rockette Kicks. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a very physical number.
Yeah, it's fun to sing high, F sharps when you're kicking your face. Well, if you're dancing next to Tara Paulsha and a bunch of other good and plenty
in that scene.
Okay,
yes, good and plenty.
Of course, Katz can tell you every dancer's by name's
I'll
candy.
Tell you, in that scene, if you're paying too much attention to Eric, you might get hit with a Kit Kat.
That's classic.
I want to ask you about it. Speaking of the physical nature of the show and all the grueling work you do, there's 14 shows a week.
Yes.
It's one of the busiest shows we've ever had in this city. That's mm-hmm. got to be for what it is. 7 and 9 o'clock. How do you prevent from just being burned out physically, vocally, artistically? I mean, that is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And, first of all, I try to drink a gallon of water a day. I mean, I wake up and thanks to Arrowhead Water, if I'm supposed to make some type of, but, I definitely have to drink a lot of water out here.
And now, is that different than New York? I mean, obviously, because we're so dry here, but I mean, would you have to hydrate and everything if for the same type of show if it was taking place in New York?
Yes, I would. Yeah. I would.
Did you get Vegas throat or any of the things that have singers say that they get Vegas throat when they come here?
Knock on wood, I haven't. I haven't, but
we've got a run of them lately.
I think a lot of it, for me, I've learned so much performing in this town, and most of it for me has been not to panic, you know. Sometimes 4 o'clock will come around and my voice is still a little bit dry and it's not really opening up and I get nervous and I'm like, oh my gosh, am I going to have a voice tonight and whatever. And you have that singers and performers superstition that kind of sits on your shoulder of, what's going to happen? Am I going to have a voice? Can I sing? You know, but I've learned to kind of temper that and not get so crazy, because really what it's all about is the energy, and for somehow, some way, the magic of Vegas hits. And I open my mouth and it's there. So I've learned to not panic.
And I'm sure that's also training,
thing.
And not just Magic of Vegas. It is the fact that you take this very seriously, and your voice. It's no fluke that your voice is as amazing as it is. So.
Right. The thing that is most difficult is the physical energy. You know, from season to season in this town, because the temperature changes so dramatically. Right now, what I'm going through is readjusting to the heat on stage. Yeah. And so it changes your show in a way that is, you know, I have to breathe through my nose a little bit more. I can't, you know, kind of suck air through my mouth while I'm singing, because first of all, it dries me out, and second of all, it just zaps my energy immediately. So I have to kind of you know, temper that and relax and like I said, not panic. But it is a very physical show. I do a workout routine, but I can't run. I can't go to the gym too much. I can't really do too much cardio because I have to save up my energy.
That is cardio. That is a workout.
Exactly.
Twice a night you do a workout.
If anything, I have to maintain my having a little bit of muscle on my body so that I don't lose so much weight that I'm not I'm just so thin that I don't have anything to
give. Yeah.
Right.
To burn. So now you have the CD out.
Yes.
So now with your grueling schedule with Vegas the Show. How do you go to promote that? Are there certain days that you want to maybe just go and you want to perform all of your songs just as you, which I assume that you do because, you know, you're a recording artist.
Right.
Is that going to be some sort of a problem with your grueling schedule with Vegas the Show?
You know, it is, because it makes it difficult just because I have one day off a week. I would love to sing my face off that one day a week if I could, and if there is an audience that would love to hear me sing and share my album with them, I would love to do that. So I'm not afraid of using that one day off that I have to perform. But you know, I must say, I moved out here from New York City. I lived in New York for many, many years, and I did a bunch of shows out there, and I moved out here for Vegas the Show, so it really is my priority right now, and I do have some, you know, things that I would really love to do in the future, and I'm concentrating on making those things happen, but right now I really am just trying to give the audience as much as I can on every given night. I mean, it's 6 days a week.
And you do that. I mean, Vegas the Show, it's an incredible show, and you are, you know, you are the star of the show. So
I have a good time.
We are so thrilled that you could come and be on the show.
Thanks.
We've been loving watching you for 2 years now. And what is your dark night?
My dark night is Sunday night, so I'm not on Sundays.
Come Monday through Saturday to see you.
Eric Jordan Young from Vegas the Show, 2 years on at Miracle Mile Shops, Planet Hollywood, inside the Saks Theater. The CD, Once in a Lifetime, is his, and I have to plug one song on here, Keep Your Eye on the Sparrow, the theme for Beretta.
It's a good one.
I love it!
You know it. It's Sammy Davis Jr. originally
and
did
if
that
you always,
song. A lot of people don't know that.
If you want to get a taste of it, too, you can always go to my website, which I'm going to do a shameless plug, of course, but you can take a listen if you'd like to at ericjordanyoung.com.
I'll do that after the show. Thanks for coming on down, Eric.
Thank you.
Take care.